Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a young adult author with me. No, he's not the young adult, but rather he writes for young adults. He is Patrick Hodges. Patrick says this, "I guess I am the classic late bloomer. I had to sit in the front row of the class picture every year in elementary school. I didn't reach my present permanent height until the year I got my driver's license. It took me a long time to grow up mentally, too. I was probably the least goal-oriented person you could ever meet. I always enjoyed reading books, though I was convinced that I was not and never would be creative enough to come up with an original idea or story without cobbling it together from things I've already seen. And so in my mid-40s, imagine my surprise when a story was born inside my head and 9 months later had grown so large that I couldn't hold it anymore. I'm sure many writers tell similar origin stories, but I sure wouldn't wish a 3-decade gap between high school creative writing class and, you know, writing something actually creative. Well, better a late bloomer than a never bloomer, I guess. So what else? Oh yeah, I live in Arizona with my amazing wife, Vanessa, and our kids, June, Benji, and Sunshine. Two are dogs and one is a cat, and I'll let you figure out which one is which. And his Twitter description reads, award-winning writer of young adult contemporary fiction, anti-bullying advocate, and lover of small furry animals. And I am in complete agreement with that, so let's bring him on. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Hello, good to be here.
Happy to have you here. Let's talk about your books, your 3 books that comprise a series are titled Joshua's Island, Ethan's Secret, and Sophie's Different. Now, these books seem to stem from a deeply personal history. If you would, share that part of your life with us.
The original idea for Joshua's Island came in 2014. I was bullied really badly when I was a kid, kind of started in middle school and continued all the way through high school. And in the beginning of part of 2014, I started to get a little nostalgic for my, you know, the end of my middle school years. And, you know, even though I was bullied, middle school wasn't nearly as bad as high school was, and I actually had some fond memories. And I just started to, you know, fantasize. And, you know, if I could go back and change things, you know, be the director of my own story, what would I do differently? And then, so I know I started writing this story in my head, and 9 months later, I was still writing the story in my head, and, you know, by the time I realized that I had a beginning, a middle, and an end, I said to myself, maybe I should write this down. So I sat at my computer, and I typed for like 5 straight days, and I finished the rough draft of 45,000 words in 5 days, and it was a complete mess. But I did show it to a couple of people, and they really liked it. They thought it had potential, so I kept adding to it and improving it, and 3 months later, it was on Amazon, and, well, I guess they say the rest is history. After that, I just had to keep writing.
I love stories like that, and yours is not the first. There's so many people that have difficult situations, and rather than just let them fester and grow into something horribly negative, boy, it's like they've just got to get it out of them, and that writing becomes so cathartic. So obviously, this was a very healing experience for you as well, I would imagine.
Anyone who knows me will probably recognize a lot of my main character in me. I think the main thing I wanted to do in writing the story is I wanted to give this my alter ego the happy ending that I didn't really get at the time. I mean, my life has been pretty good since then, but I mean, at the time it felt like, you know, I was in a funk I thought I would never get out of. I wanted to give my main character the happy ending that he deserved, mm-hmm. and that so many other bullied kids never get.
No, absolutely. So you tackle the issue of bullying. What other issues do you talk about in your books?
Bullying is a main theme of all three books, but I do tackle other, you know, relevant social issues that kids of that age have to deal with, things like, you know, peer pressure, underage drinking, domestic violence, drugs, you know, and their sexual development, things like that. But bullying is probably the main theme because there's a tiny thread of bullying that goes, well, I mean, it's the only topic in Joshua's Island. It's also present in the other two books.
And I noticed something, your three books, Joshua's Island, Ethan's Secret, Sophie's Different, all three are just two-word titles. Let's just talk about the titles for a minute.
Yeah, I did want all three titles to have a connecting, to be similar, so, you know, because they are part of a series, mm-hmm. even though, you know, each book can be read as a standalone. You don't have to have read the first one to read the second one. You don't have to read the first two to read the third. It would help, but each book focuses on different characters, even though there is a little overlap, mm-hmm. and each one can be enjoyed on its own.
Right. Why don't you give us a bit of a synopsis of the three books? Just take us on a tiny journey of them, just to give folks an idea of what they're about.
Okay. Well, the first book, Joshua's Island, the main character's name is Joshua. He's the smallest boy in his class, the eighth grade, and you know, four bullies have been picking on him for a long, long time, and you know, it started as name calling, but now it's grown into physical violence, and unfortunately, the principal of the school has turned a blind eye to it. So he basically just tries to keep his head down and survive, and Every day during recess period, he goes to the set of bleachers on the far side of the playground, which he calls his island. And because it's so far, the bullies don't go there. And then on the first day of it, he meets a popular girl. I mean, he's paired with a popular girl in science class who wants nothing to do with him at first. But she's actually a really nice girl at heart, unlike most of the popular girls. And when she asks for his help, she finds out that he's really a nice guy and not the freak everyone says he is. So the two become friends, and their friendship kind of is the catalyst for change in the entire school. Mm-hmm. It's also a little bit of a love story.
So that's Joshua's Island.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit about Ethan's Secret.
My favorite supporting character in Joshua's Island was a little fifth grade girl named Kelsey, who's in the fifth grade. And I loved her so much that when I finished Joshua's Island, I just had to give her own story. So I kind of advanced the timeline 3 years. Ethan's Secret takes place 3 years after Joshua's Island. And Kelsey, who's now in eighth grade, is the main character. She's a policeman's daughter. She loves Sherlock Holmes. Her friends call her Detective. And she becomes fascinated by this boy who appears in her class on the first day of eighth grade, who dresses all in black, has spiky hair, looks like a total bad boy, but he doesn't act like one. So, I mean, she's curious about him and a little infatuated. And so she starts investigating him, and then finally she approaches him and gets to know him. But what she doesn't know at the time is that he and his whole family are harboring a really big secret, obviously. And, he worries that, you know, if she keeps digging into his life, it's going to put their lives in danger. Mm. Because that's what's at stake. I mean, there is real danger in this story. So it is kind of a mystery, and it's also got a little bit of romance, but it definitely builds to a thrilling conclusion. And almost everyone who's read it has told me that the ending is absolutely perfect, and I'm very proud of that because it took me a long time to get it just right.
I would imagine so. I mean, that was an important piece there. You better make sure that ending was correct. And then we have Sophie's Different.
Well, again, the Sophie's Different takes place 3 years after Ethan's Secret. The main character is Sophie, who also appears in the other two books as a 7 and a 10-year-old. Now she's in eighth grade. And she's kind of a, she and her friends are kind of misfits. And they're kind of picked on by the mean girls in the school. So, yeah, I'm kind of returning to the bullying theme. And then kind of history repeating itself. She gets paired in science class with the hottest boy in the school. But unlike Joshua, he's a piece of work. The main male character is a boy named Aiden whose home life is it's bad. I'll just say it's bad. His father ran out on him, and then his older sister ran away, and he's kind of like stays in the shadows, doesn't talk to anyone, you know, dreams about being a superhero. And but when he overhears, you know, the popular guy who's Sophie's partner, plotting something that will end up destroying Sophie, and he realizes he can't stay in the shadows anymore because he's kind of a misfit too, and he doesn't want to see her get hurt. And then eventually all the misfits in the school decide to try out for the school play, which is Peter Pan. And they kind of band together to show everyone else in the school what they're made of. Mm. There are a couple of other subplots, but that's the main theme.
And as you're speaking, it's obvious that for you, it's all about the characters. And I also would imagine that when writing for young adults, it would have to be the character that they would obviously most relate to. So how do you go about creating your characters, or do they create themselves?
Well, a little of both, I'd say. Based some characters on people that I know or once knew. I create my characters as real, as true to life as I possibly can. I mean, it's sometimes difficult having a lot of characters and then having them all with their own personality traits and quirks. But I want people to read these characters and say, hey, I know someone just like this, you know. I love underdog stories, and that's why, you know, most of my characters are the ones, the least popular kids, the ones that maybe go to school every day and people don't notice them. But, you know, you deep down, you get to know them. They're really the most amazing people. And I wanted to kind of shine a spotlight on the misfits of the school, because you just never know, you know, what lies beneath.
Isn't that the truth? And it's such a shame that we learn some of these lessons a little bit late. I think as you're saying this and as people are listening, you could all kind of hearken back to junior high school or high school and think about whether you were a popular kid or you weren't. You could still remember what it was like and what it felt like and what you saw and witnessed. And you wish that you had the wisdom that you have now and make sure that you treat people with care.
Yes, that's very true. As a matter of fact, I mean, not even 2 days ago, I was contacted via Facebook from one of the people who treated me rather shabbily back then, and she apologized profusely. She apologized for, you know, treating me that way, and she begged my forgiveness, which I gave to her, because, you know, I forgave people who did that to me a long, long time ago. And It was just really nice to hear, you know, someone from my past, like, coming forward and seeking me out and saying congratulations on writing a book. And she read the book and she loved it. And she said she's going to read all the other ones too. And I'm like, wow. Just coming out of left field like that. That just made my day.
Absolutely. That's so beautiful. I know that your books are for a teenage audience, but hopefully adults read it too and can maybe pass this wisdom down to their children before it's too late.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, Joshua Zawin has well over 100 reviews on Amazon, and almost all of them are positive, and almost all of them are from adults.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard from parents, grandparents, teachers, librarians, and I mean, the acclaim has just been phenomenal.
I'm happy about that. I hope that more people get a hold of your book and make sure that their young people that they're associated with get a copy and read it, or read it together or something. So I know that this is for a teenage audience. How difficult or easy was it for you to write to a teenage audience?
Well, my first draft was a little bit of a mess. I mean, well, some people say that I was writing my 13-year-old characters as way too mature. So I kind of had to scale back. I had to eliminate the long words. I mean, even the finished product, people say that the characters don't come off as 13-year-olds, like they're more like 16-year-olds. But, you know, people can say that if they want. But, you know, some 13-year-olds are more mature for their age. And there are 13-year-olds who act like 16-year-olds. There are 16-year-olds who act like 10-year-olds. But, yes, I definitely had to, I kind of had to edit as I go just to make sure that, you know, it didn't come off as totally unbelievable that, you know, would a kid say these things? Would a kid act this way? But, I mean, it was all part of the learning process, and I like to think that all my stories have gotten better as I've gone along.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also have a fantasy sci-fi novel titled Pawns, The Wielders of Arantha, Book 1. Is that for young adults as well?
No. Well, I mean, I would imagine that, you know, maybe kids, high teens could read it, but I don't think it would be appropriate for middle schoolers. Most of the main characters are in their 30s, and in fact, the two main characters are mothers of teenagers. There are a lot of young characters in the story, but the main characters are all grown-ups. So I think this is definitely more adult because there's a lot more, you know, violence and profanity than you would find in a book for young kids.
Right. So this is book one, so obviously there's more to come.
Yes. I'm working on book two, and I'm hoping to have that out by the end of the summer, and book three hopefully by the end of the year. And that's probably where the series will end. It'll be a trilogy.
Okay. All right. Are you through writing for the teenage audience, or do you have a future plan in mind?
Well, a lot of people have a lot of stuff rolling around their heads. I actually have no idea what I'm going to do when this is. It just depends what comes into my mind next. I could go back to the young adult genre, or I could do an entirely different genre. It just depends what I'm inspired to write at the time.
There you go. So as you're writing your books, are there any main questions that you want your readers to ask, and what do you hope that they find or come away with?
Well, a lot of the people who have read Joshua's Island have told me that, you know, it has increased their awareness about bullying, which I guess when you get down to it was the main reason that I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I made it bad for my main character, Joshua. I mean, he was bullied in pretty much every way a person can be bullied. And I really hope that there aren't any kids that are getting bullied as badly as Joshua is. But, I mean, I made it bad so people would see that, you know, it is a problem. And, you know, and the problem with bullying is that a lot of people just stand by and do nothing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have told me that, you know, I was the person who stood by and did nothing. And, I mean, thank you for opening my eyes. I wanted someone who read Joshua's Island, who maybe was or is still being bullied, to, you know, understand that, you know, there is still hope because, you know, a happy ending is possible, even though it seems like the entire world is against you. Sometimes all it takes is that one friend to turn it all around. And that's, I mean, I think that's the most important thing that I was trying to convey in my book.
Right. And what do you think, in the past, being bullied, I don't know how old you are, but in my past, being bullied was pretty much confined to what happened at school, because then you had no more contact with these kids other than at school or at recess. But now we have social media and, you know, so many other ways that people are connected and spread the word. What are you seeing now? Is it getting better as far as there's more awareness, so less people are being bullied, or more people being bullied because of the technology and the ability to do that 24/7?
Well, I grew up when I was in middle school and high school in the 80s. So, yeah, we didn't have an internet or cell phones back then, really. So, yeah, I was bullied, you know, the old-fashioned way, I guess you could say.
Right.
Yes, I mean, the potential for more bullying exists now, but I do think that there is a lot more awareness now than there was 30 years ago. You know, I mean, kids picking on each other. I mean, a lot of teachers or parents did, oh, kids will be kids. Yeah, and then some of those kids end up in therapy. You know, I mean, there are so many anti-bullying programs, which is great to see, but it just depends whether parents and teachers and principals will enforce those rules, because it's a problem that's existed for a long time, and I don't imagine it's going to go away anytime soon.
Nobody ever called it bullying at the time, and it seemed like it just came up all of a sudden, even though, as you say, it's been going on for a very, very long time. So hopefully the awareness will improve the situation. Well, how about you? As you're writing, especially the first three books, what have you learned about yourself?
Good question. Well, I've learned that, you know, I'm actually not a bad writer. I mean, because I spent so many years, I mean, because of the bullying, you know, I had very little ambition. I had very low self-esteem. And, you know, I have a great family, I have a great wife, I have a great home, I worried that, you know, I was going to live my entire life and, you know, without really accomplishing anything special. I had never really found anything that I was really, really, really good at. And then at the age of 45, I discovered a passion for writing that I never knew I had. And then, I mean, I regret not finding it sooner. But now that I've started, I don't intend to stop.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a beautiful thing that something in your life that caused you so much pain actually could be the catalyst for now your feeling of success and joy?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I turned a negative into a positive.
You did, and I think that's very inspiring. If people get nothing from what we talked about today, I think that was the kernel of all of this, is that, wow, if you've got these horrible experiences, that you can actually do some good with it. So I think you need to be extremely proud of yourself for what you've accomplished.
I am.
Good. Now, you also run a young adult author's website. That's interesting.
Well, actually, it's a Facebook group. I'm kind of the moderator for a group of young adult authors. Mm-hmm. It's called Young Adult Author Rendezvous. The website is yaarendezvous.com. I started it a few years ago. We have about 70 authors, and almost all of them are independent authors like me, and some of them are the most phenomenal writers and the most phenomenal storytellers and the greatest people that I've ever met. Well, I mean, I haven't actually met many of them in person, but because, you know, they're all over the country, and some of them are not even in the United States, but they're great people, and it's been great. It's been a great experience getting to know other authors, because reading is how you become a great writer. And, you know, we've done book festivals where we've, you know, like sold all our books, and it's been so much fun.
That is exciting, to be part of a group where you've got the same interests and you can help each other out and give each other encouragement. I think that's a great idea. So that's yaarendezvous.com, yes?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. Tell us about the publishing process. How did you get your books published?
I originally self-published, which basically means you have a book, you get it formatted, you get it edited, you get a cover for it, and then you put it on Amazon. I mean, it really is just that simple. But, you know, when you self-publish, you have to do all the legwork and all the marketing and all the promoting yourself. And this is why, you know, 99% of the books that are self-published never sell more than 100 copies, unless they're really, really good. But I'm a writer. I'm not really much of a marketer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do what I can. You know, I sell online, and I tell everyone I know, and I do author events. I mean, that's all most people do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they say the best way to sell your first book is to write a second book. The best way to sell your second book is to write a third book. And I'm just trying to, you know, expand my library as much as I can. And you know, we'd all love to, you know, that call from HarperCollins, hey, we love your stuff, we want to put it in every Barnes & Noble in the country. But, you know, that that's like winning the lottery. Yeah. And, you know, you can't hold your breath on that. You know, maybe that'll happen for me someday. But, you know, in the meantime, I like where I am and I like where I'm going.
Well, I like where you are and I like where you're going and I like what you're saying. And I think that even if one child has a better life because of what you wrote, then I figure job done, you know?
In the last year, I've had 3 13-year-old girls from different parts of the country contact me and say that I'm their favorite author.
Oh.
And I'm like, squeak, oh.
You can't ask for anything better than that, right?
No, you really can't. You really can. It's, I mean, I love talking to kids, especially when I'm doing author events, and because they're the reason I write.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. I get that. It's good to hear from your readers, especially little ones like that who really can benefit from your words of wisdom. Well, we've talked about many things today, but is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about?
I'm also on the staff of a brand new magazine called Sci-Fan Magazine. Mm-hmm. It's basically a monthly collection of short stories in the science fantasy genre, which is kind of like a mixture of science fiction and fantasy, which is where my Wielders book, you know, fits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm their editor and one of their reviewers, and it's been a lot of fun because, you know, I get to read short stories from dozens of different authors, and the magazine has really taken off, and I hope a few people check it out.
How do they find it?
It's on Amazon. All you have to do is go on Amazon and put Sci-Fan Magazine, S-C-I-F-A-N Magazine, and all our past issues will pop up.
Oh, excellent. Sci-Fan Magazine. Great. Well, with that in mind, then where can folks go to learn more about you, and where can they purchase your books?
Well, all you have to do is go to Amazon and type in Patrick Hodges. I also have a website, which is I'm currently trying to build. It says patrickhodgesauthor.com. I also can be contacted via Facebook. I have an author page. I have a page for Joshua's Island. My Twitter handle is Shrikespeare, S-H-R-Y-K-E-S-P-E-A-R-E. I try to do social media as much as I can because, I've become a lot more of a people person since I became a writer.
You have to be a promoter, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, any final words before we say goodbye?
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and my brand new book, Pawns, just came out last week, and I think it's going to take me to the next level.
Excellent. So I hope that folks head over to your new website, patrickhodgesauthor.com. They could go to yaarendezvous.com and meet all the other authors, Google Sci-Fan Magazine, many ways to get in touch with you and find out more. Patrick, I am so proud and pleased to have met you today, and I believe that the work you're doing is just so helpful to so many people. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for sharing you with us today.
My pleasure.